Well, we have spent the last 3 days tending a garage sale, and we're still going to keep going through tomorrow because, you know, it's a holiday, so we might as well. And it's just, it's exhausting. It's a lot of sitting outside listening to Sufjan Stevens on a Bluetooth speaker while nobody stops.
When you say nobody stops, is this, all right, it's hard to get a feel. Like, where we live, we're like kind of quasi-city, quasi-residential. We're like half and half.
Yeah.
Like, everybody would have to like drive to where you are to see the sale.
We are in town, but I mean, we're kind of off on a sideset street. I didn't really advertise it on like Craigslist or Facebook or anything. And so we're not getting as much traffic as I thought we would get. I thought we'd get a lot more foot traffic from the signs that I put up on the main like road that's going through. But that's okay. We've done probably $350 in sales so far. We still haven't sold the lawnmower or snowblower, which were like the big things that I really wanted to get moved.
Yeah, those are like big draws.
And I really didn't want to move them to the new apartment with us, but it's looking more and more like if they don't sell tomorrow, I'm just going to throw them in the truck and sell them out of the garage once we're in Chippewa.
Damn, snowblower seems like a thing. Like, does everybody in Wisconsin have a snowblower? Like, are you trying to sell ice cream to a Inuit native of the North?
So that's a great question. I feel like there's always somebody who wants a snowblower in Wisconsin, right?
You got a lot of snow. That's one thing you guys are really good at making.
Oh, yeah. We get so much damn snow. So I was thinking that the snowblower would actually go pretty quick, but it has zero interest.
You could tell me. I've never shopped for a snowblower.
Yeah.
You could tell me a snowblower costs brand new $200. Mm-hmm. Or you could tell me it costs $700, and I wouldn't be able to know. Like, both of those things would sound entirely plausible to me.
So let's say that I have a 20-inch battery-powered snowblower.
20-inch wide.
Yeah.
It does 20 inches wide at a time.
Yeah.
Okay.
What are you guessing?
This is what I'm telling you. I don't know. I don't know snowblower. I go out with a shovel because it snows, you know. A big snow here is like 15 inches, maybe, and that happens every 2 to 3 years. And you go out and you bust your ass for a few hours and you get it done and it's not a big deal. But like, I've heard the phrase lake effect and I don't know what it means, but I think you're near lake.
We don't have that here. No, we don't quite have that here. We're too far inland. But we do get, you know, we get 2 or 3 good blizzards a year probably. Or just the skies open up and try to kill us. So it's good to have on hand.
And you go outside. When the sky opens up, tries to kill you, you go outside with cheese curds in hand and you throw them at the sky in retaliation, I have to assume.
We throw them up in the sky screaming, oofta, oofta.
Be gone.
So I bought it new for probably around $300.
Okay, so I at least got it in the range.
And I used it for one season, and now I'm trying to sell it for $150.
Seems reasonable.
I think that's very fair. And I'm trying to sell it alongside the two lawnmowers that use the same battery system, all together as a set, for $200.
My guess is what you're running into is that everybody already has a snowblower and a lawnmower.
Or they could just buy one or the other individually. That's fine, too.
Yeah.
That's an option.
I don't know. I use a push mower because I'm an idiot. And I was like, $100, who would ever buy anything other than a push mower?
Oh, you use one of those like dumbass manual push mowers that people buy because they're like, oh, this will be a good cardio workout.
It's not that hard to do. I don't have that much lawn.
How long does it take you to do your lawn with it?
Back and front in total is with like the weed whacker is probably 90 minutes total. Every 2 weeks I do it.
Okay, that's not awful. Every 2 weeks, you do not grow very fast, do you?
No, it does. I let it get too long. And like, we've never had a yard before in our entire lives. So I'm like, oh, it could just look like shit for like about a week before. That's like my grace period for myself. Where like, it can look shitty for a week and then I will mow the lawn. Like, I should do it every week.
That is literally exactly how I run it. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I bought a real mower, and R-E-E-L, not R-E-A-L.
Now, a real mower, that's, you know, I'm going to skip that joke.
Is it a herd of goats that you send out into your lawn? That's a real mower.
No, I was going to make a joke about how a real mower is it's like an imitation lawnmower, but like you don't have to take it on dates and buy it flowers. You can.
Oh, well, pretend that joke never happened. but yeah, I push it around and it's not that bad.
Yeah, a real mower. You push it around.
You push it around. You just, you know, when it talks back, you go, you know, I could have had a gas-powered mower, but I'm stuck with you.
This is Idle Curiosities, a search-driven podcast by Jason Hellman and me, Emily Rose. Music by Yuri Beats and art by Katie Rose.
I've been staring and looking for a transition out of this for a good long time.
So I've got a couple that I could go into.
I ain't seen it. Yeah. You do it.
I haven't decided which way I want to go. But, you know, we're talking about lawnmowers. We're talking about, like, taking care of stuff. We're talking about, like, you know, routine maintenance. So I want to go for rent carpet shampooer because, yeah, what are you shampooing?
Fair enough.
And is it child related?
It's sort of, but not. It's more dog related.
Oh.
We have an old dog who we love very much. And like to make a long story short, she keeps pissing and shitting in the room where I work now for 8 hours a day.
That's a lot of pissing and shitting.
She just cannot stop pissing and shitting in the room where I work. And it's not that bad, but it's like a few times, like it's happened probably, I don't know, since we moved here like a year ago, like she at least shit 40 times in this room and has probably peed more than that because it's not as noticeable. But she's old. She's going to be 11. And like, I just, it's gotten to the point where I'm like, I need to clean these carpets because it's getting kind of gross. So I thought about renting a carpet shampooer. I know that's like something you can do from like a Home Depot or a Lowe's or whatever.
It's shockingly affordable.
It is. And then after doing the initial research, I figured out, why rent a carpet shampooer when you can own a carpet shampooer?
Hell yeah.
I've got two boys under 5, and I figured these little terrors are going to be spilling and bleeding and probably pissing and shitting, let's be honest.
Let's be honest.
On these carpets for at least 10 years. So
if I had to guess, you were like, okay, so let's just buy. And you immediately went and you got the Bissell Deep Clean Liftoff 66E1.
Yeah, that's what I did. I got that exact one. I don't like when you ruin my bit. I don't like it anymore. I used to like it.
So how do you like it? Did you already get it?
I just got here today and I haven't used it yet. But now I feel...
Okay.
I feel like I've just been cut down appropriately. Well done. Like, I mean, so what just happened is Emily went and to wirecutter.com and put in carpet spot cleaner or like some sort of carpet shampooer and figured out which one. They were like, just buy this one. Don't be an idiot. Buy this one. And that's what I did because that's what people do now. That's what I do now. And it just got here and I'm excited to open it. I haven't used it yet, but I'm like, the room smells like piss and I need it tonight. I'm sitting in the room right now, by the way.
Okay.
It's not.
So you need to use it soon.
I'm excited to open it tomorrow. So I.
Okay. So do you just want to scrap the concept of our podcast and just like do an unboxing thing for the rest of the hour or?
Do bonus content.
I don't think I've ever heard of an unboxing podcast. I know it's popular on YouTube.
We could do a video. I don't know what you would do. Anyway, I ordered special like animal solvent, I don't know, animal soap, something that comes tomorrow. So I was like holding off, taking it out and actually using it. But yeah, my dog keeps pissing and shitting on the floor. And I'm like feeling extra bad for her because she has a... I woke up at 6 a.m. the other day to my wife screaming, there's blood everywhere. And like,
oh God,
when you wake up to that, it's not the most pleasant thing. But long story short, she has like a growth on her foot and she's like,
The dog.
Yeah, the dog. Okay. Not my wife.
Just checking.
Yeah, no, I am the growth on my wife's foot. The dog is a growth on her foot, and she's like chewing at it, and it bled, and like there was just like, it looked like a murder scene. Like there was just like a trail of blood in our house, and it's gonna have to have surgery and all this. And I was like, this like poor animal who we just want to take care of, and that like I've been less patient with than I have in the past, because now we have two children too. I was like, man, you know, maybe you pissing and shitting on the floor, I should have taken as some sort of signal that like you need a little more attention.
Just a sign.
This is just, yeah, maybe the first step in addressing that.
That's fair. Yeah. So what's the plan going forward?
I guess I'm going to use it, and then I guess she'll have surgery. They might have to cut one of her toes off, which I'm a little upset about. Not a lot I can do about that, I guess, at this point.
Not really.
But yeah, I'm sad for my doggie, and it's okay that she's pissing and shitting on the floor, because she's a lovable little scrappy dog that we've had for 10 years, and yeah, she's a good girl.
Okay.
For all of her foils, she is a good girl.
That's a very sweet sentiment.
Yeah. I say she's a good girl. I say she's a good girl. She's not a good dog. She's a cat-like dog. She's very loving when she wants to be. She's a good animal, but like she's not very dog-like. Like she doesn't just like walk up to you and be like, hey, just like scratch me on the head and I'll be your best friend. She's like a cat where she'll like, you know, walk up to you, walk away, walk up to you, walk away, like sit on the sofa behind your head, and like maybe if you look at her the wrong way, she'll just like run away and then never look at you again. But yeah, we've had her for so long and we like her a lot, so we're gonna get this thing cut off her foot and then possibly cut off a piece of her foot to make sure it doesn't get worse.
Okay.
I don't see a good transition here, but I'm gonna try.
No, I'm looking through and I'm not sure I see one either. So I'm excited to see how you do this.
All right. So dogs, animals.
Yeah.
Birds.
Yeah.
Bird villain. Bird villain Miss Marvel.
Bird villain Miss Marvel. So I recently got my first ever iPad. And one thing that I have taken to with the iPad is reading a lot more comics and graphic novels, because I finally have a device that makes that easy.
Hell yeah.
And I can, like, I do most of my reading in the bath, so I only ever read on devices, because what, I'm going to get a paper book wet? No, I don't think so.
Well, getting a device wet is also not optimal.
Yeah, but most devices are water resistant at this point.
That's true.
So now that I can read comics in the bath, I'm picking up a lot more comics, and our library had the 2014 Miss Marvel series ready to go.
Is that the Kamala Khan Miss Marvel?
It is.
Yeah. Let's talk about it.
It is. It's very good. I'm currently in book three, where she just had her first encounter with Loki, which was very fun. But yeah, right before that, there's a villain who is essentially a clone of Thomas Edison, but in a body that's been spliced with like cockatoo DNA. So Thomas Edison is half bird.
I have such a vague recollection of this because I think I read this when it came out. This is when I believe I was still buying issues of comics. I mean, it was, oh God, 7 or 8 years ago, probably. And I have this like very vague recollection of like this weird anthropomorphic bird that,
right,
that like is angry for some reason. And then like you find out, yeah, it's like Thomas Edison related. So sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. So it's a clone of Thomas Edison, morphed with cockatoo DNA.
Because why wouldn't it be?
Right. And the reason it's morphed with cockatoo DNA is because of something that went wrong during the cloning process. So that wasn't intentional. And all I could think about through the entire storyline was how much fun it would be to see like a mini series, or to see a like one shot where it's just Thomas Edison clone, just like living his life and either being completely miserable because he's in the wrong body, or realizing that this is who he was always supposed to be, and realizing that like this is unlocking all of his potential.
Yeah, because he could like, you know, fly up and kind of get a bird's eye view, literally, of everything.
So basically, I want to take the idea of like body dysphoria and apply it to this villain, since all I can think about is God, it must suck to wake up in literally the completely wrong body, like not even the right species, and just be stuck there for fucking forever.
If I remember right, the comic kind of plays it for laughs because it's like...
It does, yeah.
It's like, oh, I'm Thomas Edison. And like the hero's like, no, you're a bird. You're a large bird. And maybe you think you're Thomas Edison, but you are not. But I like...
You are, in fact, a bird.
I do like the like flipping it on its head and be like, no, the bird thinks it's Thomas Edison. So like, let's take that seriously for a minute.
Well, I think that there's a fun potential there. If you want to do like a brief origin story one shot, we can be like, oh, maybe this is why Thomas Edison is now like a goddamn supervillain.
Yeah, I'd read that.
Maybe like I could see it going either way. Either he woke up in the wrong body and therefore he's a supervillain, or he woke up in very much the right body and therefore he's a supervillain.
So in the wrong body. All right, let me think this through. I'm already laughing at myself. Thomas Edison wakes up in the wrong body. He's a bird. And then he's like, I'm not a bird. I'm a man. But what if it was fun to be a bird? Or Thomas Edison wakes up and he's like, I'm a bird. Being a man sucks. This is great. I can fly now. Let's get you done, Thomas Edison Birdman.
Thomas Edison Birdman.
I would read both, honestly. You're writing down Thomas Edison Birdman as a title, and I like it.
I am. So the other titles I have so far are She Cannot Stop Pissing and Shitting. I Am the Growth on My Wife's Foot. I say she's a good girl. And it's a clone of Thomas Edison.
All good candidates.
I really like I Am the Growth on My Wife's Foot because it makes zero goddamn sense.
No, but it's true. It's very true.
I haven't really been looking at your terms, so I don't have a good transition, but I do see that you have one about Slipknot, and I would love to hear you talk about Slipknot for a little bit.
I'm
not sure why you want to be killing Slipknot fans, but can you tell me about Ammonia Kill Maggots?
Is this jokes? Is there a real Slipknot thing about... Is that a real song?
No, like Slipknot fans are often referred to as maggots.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay. This one's gross. And if you don't want to hear about gross things, you should fast forward.
If you don't want to hear about gross things, fuck you. You heard episode 1 where I did that whole needle bit.
Yeah, this is gross. But like, I think there are people who... are put off by needles, and there are probably different people who are put off by bugs, and there are maybe different people, and this is going to be gross talking about things, swarms of things.
I just think it's really funny that you have so much respect for the listener and I have so much disdain for the listener.
Yeah, like if you don't want to hear about maggots or things that writhe, maybe don't listen to the next 10 to 15 minutes because I'm gonna be talking about it. Yeah, I opened our trash can, our outside trash can that only stays outside, to find there were bugs in there. And I think of myself as somebody who has like a relatively strong stomach, and like bugs don't really gross me out. But holy shit, a garbage bag broke in our outside trash can, and some flies got in there, I guess. And there were some fucking maggots. Actually, I think they were, from what I Googled, I think they were actually pre-maggot. They were like pupa, I want to say. Like very small little white worms, but holy shit, there were a lot of them. And I didn't really know what to do other than...
So, as a homeowner, I already have some opinions on what should be done.
Okay, burn the house down and move away, Griffin McElroy style.
Well, I was going to say just throw the bag in on top, close it, and pretend you never saw anything until it becomes so much of a problem that you cannot possibly ignore it anymore.
Well, it was at that point for me, which was like, you open the lid and you look inside and it looks like the can is alive, which to me, that is the breaking point for me. Like four little white worms. Okay, it's not going to bother me. There were more than that to the point where I started panicking and I ran inside. I started looking through our, like, you know, the drawer of, if our child opens, is like rooting through this drawer, we already know, like, poison control must be called, where we keep all the cleaning supplies and all that stuff. And like, all we had is this like 3-quart bottle, like 1-quart bottle full of ammonia. So I was like, I know ammonia smells bad when I smell it. And I know maybe bugs probably wouldn't like the same smell. So I just Googled ammonia kill maggots. And what I found was they're supposed to.
It's supposed to. That implies That implies that it might not.
Well, I don't know. I wasn't in my right brain when I was thinking of this. What I read was, yes, ammonia, like it should, the gas from ammonia should basically smother any sort of life if it is in an enclosed space. What I did, because the bugs were, they were at, oh fuck, this is so gross. They weren't just like at the bottom. They were like on the sides and on the top, on the lid. So what I did was I dumped all the ammonia I had into the bottom of the trash can. And then I took the hose and I sprayed all the bugs I could see to try to like knock them down into the ammonia. And then I sprayed some water in there to try to like agitate it, I guess, to make more.
Make fumes, yeah.
Ammonia smell. And then I inhaled and it felt like someone. It felt like.
Jason?
It was so bad.
The number one rule of dealing with ammonia is don't just give yourself a big ol' whiff of it.
I think
that's just written right there in big red letters. Don't whiff.
I know ammonia and bleach make chlorine. And I know don't inhale chlorine because chlorine is poison. So I did not do that. But I thought because it was just ammonia, maybe I was cool. And I was like, well, I'm not going to measure it because this is all the ammonia I have. And this is all the trash can I have. So all the ammonia goes in the trash can.
Forgive me if you've already said, but how much ammonia was that again?
It couldn't be that much. It was, the whole bottle couldn't have been more than a quart, maybe.
Okay.
A liter. No, I'll say a liter. And it was probably like 3/4 full.
See, I'm sitting here thinking of like 3/4 of a gallon, like a big like white vinegar jug.
No, it wasn't that big. It was like a quart. It was like a, yeah, I would say it was probably 3/4 of a quart, which like fuck our shitty system for measuring things because that doesn't, 3/4 of a quart is like nothing. That doesn't mean anything. I dumped all the ammonia I had into the trash can and then I sprayed the hose and I like prayed that this would work. And well, we're going to have to do a follow-up bit on this because I have not opened the trash can since. And
oh, okay.
I don't know what's going to happen.
Now, see, if I were you, I would have just Googled wire cutter maggots. And I would just picked up the Bissell Maggot Killer 3000 JF.
Doesn't exist. Nope. Do not listen. That is bad advice. There is no the Maggot Killer is like poison the maggots. Like put as much poison as you can into the place where the maggots are living. And like, that's kind of it. And that's what I got out of Ammonia Kill Maggots. And the results were very funny. It was like, I have a trash can, it's filled with maggots. Can I put ammonia in? And someone's like, yeah, but you could put like any other poison in there too. And like, it's probably going to kill them.
Okay, so maggots die easy. Is that what we're saying?
I think so. But like, what if I open the can and like, what if they love it? What if it was like, what if maggots love ammonia? The internet said maggots hate ammonia, but
if you come back next week and you open the podcast by going, guess what? Maggots love ammonia.
What if Jeff Goldblum, like the face of Jeff Goldblum, is in the bottom of my trash can and he's like trying to talk, but he can't because David Cronenberg has cursed him to become the maggot man that lives in my trash can. There's a title right there.
The maggot man who lives in my trash can.
But yeah, like basically at this point, like crossing my fingers and hoping for the best that I poisoned the bugs in the right way. And I'm not sure I did.
Well, that's okay. I mean, what's the worst that happens? You have to do it again with another poison?
That's yeah, it's pretty bad. It wasn't good. I did inhale a big whiff.
Here's what I see happening. You get in there. You've got your little vial of poison, right? You dump the poison in.
It's big. It's not a little vial. I put so much poison in there.
You go in, you dump in your little vial of poison. You come back out and they're all llamas. Every last one of them, llamas.
I feel like I missed a joke.
Have you not seen The Emperor's New Groove?
It's possible I have not.
Oh, fuck off.
Should I add it to my list?
It is literally the best Disney animated film.
Really?
Yes.
The Emperor's New Groove is the best Disney animated film.
Yes, that includes Pixar.
What the fuck? How?
It just is.
It's David Spade, right?
It's David Spade. It's Eartha Kitt. It's, what's his name? The big guy with the low voice.
David Putty.
What?
David Putty from Seinfeld.
Is that his name?
Putty? I've watched so much.
What's the actor's name?
It doesn't matter because he's David Putty. David Putty is Patrick Warburton.
Yes, Patrick Warburton.
Well, he's David Putty, though.
So, yeah, Emperor's New Groove is by far my favorite Disney animated movie. By far.
Like,
John Goodman?
I'm in a little bit of stunned disbelief because, like, I guess the movie probably came out after I was of animated movie watching age. Like, I don't know when it came out. Emperor's New Groove. All right, so this came out in 2000, so I was 15.
Mm-hmm.
I was not watching... This, to me, would probably feel like a kid's movie, so I just...
I promise you, I do not just love it because it came out when I was the right age. I promise you, it is actually that good.
I know the joke, like the pull the lever, wrong lever, because I've seen that like 5 seconds of clip. But that's all I've seen, and I assume the rest was just bad, and that this was the era where Disney was like, we're DreamWorks. Or maybe DreamWorks didn't exist. I don't know anything about movies. But this was like the era where it felt like Disney was trying to be cool and edgy. And they made a movie where David Spade became a llama.
Yeah, it's just, it feels like a good sitcom in movie form. But like, it feels like a sitcom that's 3 seasons in and has found its voice.
All right. Well, I guess we'll add it to the list. We'll show it to Eli.
Oh, it's so good.
And I know there was like a following of this movie, but I assumed the people who followed it were dumb and wrong.
Oh no. See, now I got to see what it's sitting at on Letterboxd. On Letterboxd, it is currently 3.7 out of 5.
That seems, I've been on Letterboxd for like 3 weeks. Not even 2 weeks, I think.
Does it help that Bethany gave it 4.5 stars?
It does, actually. Yeah. Bethany, who helped us with our bonus episode where we talked about...
And our upcoming bonus episode.
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, and we will be talking about Girl Interrupted when I can figure out when I can watch a 90-minute movie uninterrupted. Okay, yeah, I'm on board. David Spade? He's good?
I promise you, you will not be disappointed.
Okay, I love Disney. Well, I like Disney. I love Pixar. I can't imagine it being higher than my highest.
It probably won't be for you. It probably won't be for you, and that's okay.
We've talked a little bit about like Pixar and like what our favorite Pixar movies are, and for me, it's pretty much Finding Nemo and Ratatouille, I think, and maybe WALL-E are like my top three, I would say. It would be very difficult to displace those, that like triumvirate of movies that really make me happy.
I find it extremely unlikely that this movie will make you cry.
Really? I mean, it's not hard to make me cry.
I mean, it's just, it's not that type of movie. It's much more of like a comfort movie in that it's got really strong performances and really strong jokes, and it goes at a really good pace all the way through. You never really feel like you're just dragging your way through the movie.
Wait, sorry. Are you saying it's unlikely that it will make me cry, or it's a movie that is... that you would think is unlikely to make you cry, but then it does?
I don't think it will make you cry, but it's possible, I guess. Now that I'm thinking more about it, it does kind of do that whole Disney thing with the ending. So there is a moment that might get you. We'll see.
I mean, I'll cry at whatever. Like, there's no pride. I'll cry at basically anything. I'm reverse you, I think.
Yeah. I swear, one of these days, I'm going to cry at a movie. And it will be our entire hour of the podcast talking about it.
I would love to talk about it because I just don't know what makes you cry, because everything makes me cry. And I would enjoy knowing what did it. It's not going to be Mary Poppins. It won't be Mary Poppins.
It won't be Mary Poppins.
Because Mary Poppins is a movie where pretty much nothing happens and Dick Van Dyke does a shitty accent. And then you Google Mary Poppins costume.
I googled Mary Poppins costume, and I'm sorry, I'm going to talk about this real quick, but I just want to check. Did we get to The Emperor's New Groove from Ammonia Kill Maggots?
Oh, yeah, big time.
Fantastic. Okay, Mary Poppins costume. So I was, God, I don't know, I must have been on Amazon, and I think they just like popped a Mary Poppins costume into my feed. And I had a moment where I was just like, oh, wait, holy shit. I have so many options for Halloween costumes this year that I have never had laid out before me in the past. And I could do Mary Poppins. Like, I saw the costume, I was like, I could pull that off. I could definitely pull that off. And then I started kind of really looking at this $50 full costume and thinking, I'm not sure you can buy the materials for a decent Mary Poppins costume for $50, much less construct one. So the more I looked at it, the more I realized that this is like paper thin plastic and fabric that will make me hate everything about myself, Mary Poppins, and possibly the whole world. So then I went, well, surely somebody else has made a Mary Poppins costume, one that isn't $50, one that is in fact worthy of being worn. So I typed in Mary Poppins costume, and I ended up on Etsy, and hot damn, have people ever done that on Etsy?
Yeah, that's what Etsy is.
Etsy fucking loves costumes.
Literally what Etsy is there for.
You see, I use Etsy to find, like, cross-stitch patterns, and...
Wait, hold on. I'm gonna sidetrack for a hot second. Is there no Ravelry for...
Not that I'm aware of. Almost everybody works off of Etsy.
That's a crime, because Ravelry is so good.
I'll link you to one of my favorite Etsy stores that does just, like, the most adorable little cross-stitch patterns.
I'm not upset that Etsy is what people use for cross-stitch, but I am upset because Ravelry is like this website where it's every, oh my God, like it's like knitting Valhalla. And like, if you're going to talk about or think about knitting in any sort of way, you have to use Ravelry. And like the fact that Etsy, this site that does like a billion other things that are not cross-stitch, is like the go-to place for cross-stitch patterns.
It's the only place.
Fuck.
I mean, cross-stitch has a huge problem right now where people steal patterns and then resell them as their own. And like, it's a real problem. Theft from artists is rampant. It's an absolute goddamn nightmare. So if somebody could create a better system, I think it would be adopted in a flash. But it would have to actually be good.
Knitting patterns are like the one thing where I, pretty much any other form of media, like I'm not shy about being like, no, like fuck the studios, fuck the people who like typically make money for this. Like I'm fine pirating it. Mm-hmm. Ravelry is the one thing where I'm like, no, like I'll pay $6 for a knitting pattern, and I've absolutely no qualms about like buying patterns there that like maybe I won't use or like I want the people who spend, I know it takes hundreds of hours to design a knitting pattern, and I'm probably similar for cross stitch, so like I'm fine with them getting paid for that, but like it doesn't feel like that is maybe happening on
cross stitch patterns get ripped off and sold for a quick buck all the time. One of the big problems that cross stitch has that knitting doesn't is that a lot of cross stitch is built around licensed characters.
Interesting. Okay.
So like one of my favorite stores primarily works in Stardew Valley sprites. And so there's the weird issue of, okay, these are technically unauthorized sprites in the first place, so who are you to claim ownership over them anyway? And so that becomes a thing. And then a lot of people want Disney shit, and Disney shit's just, you can't sell Disney shit on Etsy, because Disney loves to come after that. And so like fan art's a whole big thing that, I mean, obviously rights get to be weird on that stuff. But then you find shops like Fuzzy Fox Designs, which I just linked to you in Discord. And this is all like original designs, and it's all like really cute, beautiful stuff that clearly a lot of work and care and passion has gone into. But then you'll also find a lot of these same patterns on 1,000 other sites. And if Rachel wants to keep people from ripping her off, she has to go in and individually DMCA all these other people stealing her shit. Which, I mean, that's a time cost if you're trying to make any sort of money. So yeah, it's just a problem.
That's like, I don't know why does I don't know why it doesn't happen. I'm sure it does happen with knitting, but
I'm sure it does.
But like the patterns are, I guess, more like it's just like a whole PDF. It's like a 10, you know, mm-hmm. What I'm looking at is like a 10 page PDF versus like a maybe like a one page. It doesn't make sense that like why one would be more rip offable than the next.
I think it's just like the level of investment that the community has, because cross-stitch is really easily accessible. Like, it's so easy to get into cross-stitch with next to no knowledge of what you're doing. And it's so easy to just go on Etsy and type in any phrase and just click and buy the first thing you see. But if you're serious about knitting, you have to go on Ravelry, and you have to have a little bit more technological investment if you're going the digital route. Or you can just buy magazines, in which case piracy is not really an issue anyway. So it kind of just feels like Etsy might be the problem.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, if we had an equivalent to Ravelry, I think people would quickly jump ship and go on there.
Maybe you should make one.
You know I have no technical skills.
Well, but yeah.
But anyway, yeah, I was on Etsy looking at Mary Poppins costume shit, and oh, you can get some really, really cool stuff. Like, you can get her handbag for $200. You can, and this is once again a problem where it's Disney coming in and copyright striking stuff, because they own the Mary Poppins right for the film rights, which is what the costumes are based on.
So do people list things? It's like competent nanny handbag flies on umbrella.
So
Mary Poppins.
This one is called Nanny, not Disney Mary Poppins umbrella.
No. Oh, fuck. I got so close.
This one is Mary Poppins inspired parrot umbrella prop replica.
Not Mary Poppins.
Mm-hmm. Practically perfect nanny inspired charm bracelet.
Pretty much great in most ways. Not Mary Poppins. Will float in on hang glider. Give kids medicine that tastes good. Fork full of molasses. I can't think of any. That's all my Mary Poppins references in one breath.
Oh, but yeah, so like there's this parrot head umbrella that is, you know, cast from resin and then painted, and it's $250 just for the umbrella.
That's so much detail.
And then $200 for the handbag. And then, you know, $100 for a hat. And then, yeah, like it just all adds up really quick.
You go out with like umbrella and a handbag, and like I think you can get like two latchkey kids on the internet for, I don't know, less than $50. And like you're set. Like that's your costume there.
So I was thinking, if I want to really do this, maybe I should just sew my own costume.
Oh, yeah.
However, here's a Mary Poppins dress for $77. Only in kid sizes. What kind of fucking kid wants to be Mary Poppins?
None of them. They want to be the kids.
They want to be Jane and Michael Banks.
Yeah.
Or Dick Van Dyke.
Yeah, Chimney Sweep. Vagabond.
Oh, here we go. Mary Poppins cosplay costume women's deluxe dress. Okay, but that is actually very cool and doesn't necessarily read as a costume. Here's a link, and I will put this in show notes as well.
Oh, shit. That's good.
Isn't that good?
Like, this looks hard. Like, you gotta be able to sew.
But this is the actual dress. This isn't just a pattern. $217.89. Like, okay. Yeah, maybe. Maybe. Oh, this shop also. Holy hot damn. This shop also does a ton of other cosplay suits. Gwen Stacy Spider-Man costume. Hell yeah. And that's only $60. Shit, dog. I could buy that.
I mean,
I might buy that.
Wait, oh, there's so many. Hold on. I'm trying to find the one that I want to riff off on.
I do have a problem because it's like a spandex suit. And that problem is I think I would need to lose another 40 to 60 pounds before I could actually wear spandex and have people go, are you sure?
Or you could. I saw a Chucky one.
Oh, hot damn.
How do you feel about being a doll that's a child and also a murderer?
I mean, I'm halfway there. Wait.
Wait, doll, child, murderer. You're halfway there. Which two?
I'm really not sure.
I'm going to go with murderer.
Yep.
Murderer first and foremost.
Oh, of course.
I'll go with murderer doll.
Okay.
You're not a child.
You know what? I could murder. You know what I could murder? I could murder a bagel right now. Tell me about Tyra Banks' bagel TikTok.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so excited. I'm so excited to talk about this one. Okay. To understand Tyra Banks. Oh, boy. To understand.
First off, let's pretend that I only have the vaguest idea who Tyra Banks is.
Okay. Tyra Banks was supermodel. I think she qualified.
She was on the show Top Dress, right?
No, she was. Tyra Banks had her own show. She was not on Top Dress. Sorry, code for fuck. I already forget what it was.
America's Next Top Model.
Well, America's Next Top Model was Tyra Banks' show.
Okay.
Top Dress was...
Wait, what was Top Dress?
Fuck me. It's like, it's my brain is just... The maggots are eating my brain. They got in my ear and they're eating my brain.
You are giving me so many great episode titles.
Oh my God.
I can't believe this isn't a Halloween episode because I now have three episode titles that have maggot in them.
Top Dress is not Top Chef. The joke is that Top Chef is the food show and Top Dress is the dress show. But Top Dress is actually...
Say yes to the dress.
No, it's Bravo.
I found the gown.
No! Bravo. You're going to make me Google it. Bravo dress show.
Bravo dress show.
Bravo dress show is Project Runway.
Oh, okay.
Not Project Runway. Okay, so we spent all this time figuring out what it is not. It is not Project Runway.
Tyra Banks is, in fact...
America's Next Top
Model. America's Next Top Model.
All right, so America's Next Top Model, I have been watching since I was 16, maybe 17. It has been going on for a very long time. Tyra Banks is the host. Tyra Banks, famously a fucking monster of a human being on this show where she doesn't give a shit about anything except for Tyra Banks, which makes for really very good TV.
Okay.
So I love watching Tyra Banks be on TV and be aware that she is on TV. And part of that means I've watched a lot of America's Next Top Model. I have read the first book in her young adult series called Model Land, which is like, what if Harry Potter, but Tyra Banks wrote it about models, and it's so extremely bad.
I'm sorry, what's that called?
It's called Model Land.
Who is it for? What, like, age group? Like, paint me a picture of the ideal reader for Tyra Land.
Ideal reader is young.
Uh-huh.
Tween girl, uh-huh. I would say between 12 and 15, who really likes Harry Potter, and like, what if Harry Potter... But modeling school, and like there's a person who gets selected to go to Hogwarts, except it's not Hogwarts, it's modeling school, and all the models are like conventionally pretty, and you're like pretty but in a weird way, and that's that's Model Land, the book. It's so bad, but it's like so Tyra Banks in that she fancies herself like someone who has a unique eye for like beauty.
Okay.
Have you watched any of America's Next Top Model?
Not a single episode.
All right. Tyra Banks is a model, becomes successful, gets her own show called America's Next Top Model. One of my friends from high school ends up on the show when I was probably 17 or 18, and she was around the same age. Her name was Brittany H, and I don't want to say her full name, but she was on the show, and I watched it through college. I was like, oh, cool. Like, my friend from high school is on the show.
Okay.
And then I kept watching it because Tyra Banks is a fascinating media creature in that she's so, like, I think she might be the most unself-aware, self-aware person to ever be put in front of a camera, where like every moment, you know, she is performing for the camera. But if she was, you would think she would make kind of some different choices, which is like to be a little less pretentious and a little less like into herself. And like everything about when Tyra Banks is on TV, everything is about Tyra Banks and not about anybody else in the room or on the show, to the point where like on the show America's Next Top Model, they don't get a message from the judges. They get Tyra mail, and when they get Tyra mail, they are very excited and they just scream. Oh my God, I'm so deep down the Tyra Banks model rabbit hole. But I've been watching and following Tyra Banks' career for a long time. And I've been on TikTok for approximately like 5 months, 4 months, maybe. And I came across this video of a person who is like, it's called a duet on TikTok, where like you see a video, your own like reaction, or like it's like a side by side of you seeing the video for the first time. So I will ask, I sent.
So I'm going to try and redefine what a duet is for a second. So I see a duet and I think of it as two videos being played at the same time, one of them being the original video and the other one being the quote tweet.
Yeah. Okay. Perfect.
Where it is commenting on the video that you're watching in real time, or reacting to it, or building on it, or extending from it. And so like there's a lot of really cool stuff that'll happen where like people will pretend that they're being handed items across videos, or, you know, weird shit like that. Anyway, in this case,
I sent you the original, but what I came across was the duet. And
now you sent me the original with the comment, "Do not open until instructed to do so."
Yeah. Okay. So can we watch this at the same time right now?
Yeah, I'm clicking it right now.
Clicking it right now too.
I cut the bagel in half and then I scoop out all that extra bagelization.
I'm sorry, what?
And put that on the side. Then I take my whipped cream cheese and I dig deep into that pot of it.
Are you kidding?
Up the entire scooped out bagel rounds like a moat. But I'm not finished yet. Then I take that plate of that moated cream cheesed bagel and I put it inside of the microwave and I shut the door and then I set it for 20 seconds. And then what starts to happen is the molecular makeup of that cream cheese starts to change. It's like a science project.
I'm not sure that's how science works.
It's not just heated. Oh no. It's creamy and it has a slightly tart flavor that it didn't have pre-microwave.
What I'm going to do real quick is I'm just going to record a few reactions that I can splice over the video when I cut the video in. So here we go.
Okay.
I'm sorry, what? Are you kidding? I'm not sure that's how science works.
Wait, bagelization. We should talk about bagelization. Number one, she is wearing a backwards beret. And on the front of the back of the beret, so picture a beret, not on the brim, but you turn it backwards, a la Samuel L. Jackson. And on the front of that beret is Model Land, which is the name of her young adult book series. So, like, I think this was her promoting Model Land, but for whatever reason, she got sidetracked. So, and it was like, we're not talking about Model Land anymore. We're talking about how I eat a fucking bagel.
I was just on Wikipedia. There was only one book in the Model Land series, and that came out a decade ago.
We've been deprived of more Model Land content.
So what this implies to me is that she is either finally publishing the sequel or adapting it for Netflix.
Or this is 10 years old.
Oh, I hadn't thought about that.
Or this is 10 years old and it's finally coming to light. Oh, okay. So Tyra Banks is on camera. Her beret is on backwards and she's talking about bagels and how she eats bagels. And the first thing she talks about is how she cuts it in half and scoops out the bagelization. So like middle of bagel, like the bread part of bagel isn't just bread to her. It needs a proprietary name, and that name is bagelization.
Well, yeah.
So bagelization comes out.
Now, the caption on the video is, "Allow Tyra Banks to school you on the art of bagelization." So is bagelization what she's calling the bread inside, or is she calling the scooping out and then refilling it? Is she calling that process bagelization?
All right. Again, as someone who has followed her career, I would probably argue that she is trying to brand the idea of scooping out the inside of a bagel as bagelization, which is hard to say without laughing.
Similar to like what you would do with like a good sub.
Wait, No, nobody should ever scoop out the bread from a sandwich to make
That's
it
That's how
better.
You get more toppings in. More toppings, less carbs.
Oh, we're going to have a whole separate Philadelphia sandwich episode. Yeah, okay, so let's pretend that's the case. And Tyra Banks says, all right, step one of having a good bagel is take all the good bread that we love about bagels, throw that shit in the trash, because we don't want it.
Or, as she says, cut the bagel in half and scoop out the inside.
She doesn't say what to do with it. You could eat it, theoretically.
I see, I say put it in the blender, make a smoothie.
I need to say the subtext of all of this, if you're not watching it, is the thing that makes this so funny is she believes this. She has no ability to not take herself seriously. Like, everything about when she talks about herself and how she does things is like is perfectly sincere, which makes it so funny when she talks about the shitty way to eat a bagel that she really cares about.
Step two. Fill the bagel with whipped cream cheese. Not normal cream cheese, mind you. Must be whipped cream cheese.
Must be whipped. You fill it, and she calls it a moat. So, to me, a moat is a protective barrier between two things. Usually a moat, I would think, between a castle exterior and the castle interior. So, she's protecting the exterior.
Yeah, she's more making a divot.
Yeah, she's creating a divot. The outside of the bagel must be protected from the inside. And how must we accomplish this? By filling it with whipped cream cheese.
And she gives just like, I don't understand why, but just like the most sensual description of throwing your spoon into the cream cheese and pulling out a nice, gorgeous, like, I don't understand.
A goopy dip.
Goopy dollop of, yeah.
A goopy dollop. She's like, this is why I love Tyra Banks so much. She will never, if a camera is rolling, nothing she says will be just like, I put the cream cheese on my bagel. That cannot be allowed.
Well, no, because then you have to microwave the bagel for 20 seconds.
20 seconds. And what happens? You don't just microwave a bagel because Tyra Banks just microwave a bagel. You microwave a bagel because Tyra Banks says when it comes out, it will be transformed into something new. It is no longer the whipped cream cheese you put inside. It is something new.
Which leads to step four, which is simply stated as science.
Science makes the bagel better.
Now, I'm going to be honest with you. If you give me a list of directions and step four is science, I'm going to throw out your goddamn directions.
Cal, like, don't you buy into the energy of, I'm Tyra Banks. You should listen to me about how you eat a bagel.
Okay, so here's the thing. If I went to an MLM meeting and Tyra Banks was there selling me some sort of bullshit herbal remedy, yes, I probably would buy the introductory package for $299.95, knowing that I just need to increase my downstream. Okay, I would. She does have that personality about her. Does that mean that I'm going to cut a bagel in half, scoop out all the bread, fill it with whipped cream cheese, microwave it for exactly 20 seconds, and then science?
Well, hold on. You're leaving out a part. It is changed when it comes out of the microwave.
Yeah, see, that's science.
What if she was wearing a Model N beret? Have we talked? It's Model N. Model N was so stupid. But she gets to wear the beret. And like, oh.
So on the Model N Wikipedia page, there is a quote from Bitch Magazine about Model N. And the quote is, let's see, Bitch noted that although Model N, quote, promotes self-esteem and confidence in girls, it is less than empowering since it is all to a depressing consumerist end, end quote. Calling it, quote, a nonsensical, nightmarish acid trip that seemed like it would never end, with more made-up words and terms than a Klingon translation of a Dr. Seuss book.
Now, I would buy into that, but I would argue
That is selling me on the book. I'm going to be honest with you.
We should do a we should do a close read of Model It.
A book club?
Have you tried? Okay. You know how when you have a problem and you got a problem. Okay. Yeah. You're like, I'm going to solve this problem and I'm going to use my good human brain. And I'm going to think about all the steps that are involved in solving this problem. But then you go, what if I could just smize at the problem and it went away?
Is that not how it normally works?
First, I must quiz you. You do know what smize is a portmanteau of.
I'm a photographer. Of course I know what a smize is.
So you smize at the problem and the problem persists. What do you do?
Avada Kedavra?